All right. There's an old saying that it's very true, and I'm sure you've heard it before. But the old saying is that familiarity breeds contempt. In other words, the more we know about someone, the more we know about something, the more familiar that we become with it, the less special we think they are. And the less value we place on them. While we were in South Korea on several occasions, we had a group of professional baseball players, and they were Christians, had the testimony of faith in Christ. But we had these professional baseball players who came to visit with us. And so, as many of you may know, I know the Yoons will know this, but baseball is very big in South Korea, maybe one of their favorite sports. But we would get these fellows opportunities to go into some of the local high schools around the Daegu area, actually got them into a couple of universities in the Daegu area. And they would come in and they would hold a baseball clinic for the baseball players in those areas. And after coaching those players on some of the fundamentals of the game and giving them some tips and all of that, these pros would then share their testimony of their faith in Jesus Christ. During that time, we had a lot of young people who came to know the Lord as their Savior. And so certainly it was a very wonderful, wonderful outreach opportunity. But one of the players who came each week was a fellow by the name of Glenn Davis. At that time, Glenn was the cleanup batter for the Houston Astros. And when I say the cleanup batter, what that means is that he was the fourth man in the batting lineup. And it was his job, if one of the first three batters were able to get on base, then Glenn's job was basically to drive them home. In other words, to score a run. One night I was preaching in Jacksonville, Florida, and after the service, a lady came to Ginger and said, you know, we both know somebody very famous. And Ginger stopped and thought about it for a minute. And she said, really? She said, well, we don't know anybody who is famous. Well, it turned out that lady was actually Glenn Davis's mother. Glenn at that time was making big money. In the eyes of many, he was famous. He was considered a celebrity. But to us, because he had stayed in our home, he ate at our table, to us, Glenn Davis was just Glenn. But we all understand this sort of thing, and perhaps we have all experienced it in some way or another. But the thing we need to understand is that this idea of familiarity can become very dangerous, especially when that attitude is seen in our service for God. In other words, we become very familiar with the Bible. We become very familiar with the church. We become very familiar with the things of God. And because of that familiarity, we kind of lose the thrill of who God is. Need someone, if you would please, to mute yourself. Thank you. And I think I just turned myself off. Okay, here we go. So because of the familiarity, we lose the thrill of who God is. We lose the awe, the reverence, the respect for God. And as a result of that, eventually we will become lukewarm in our service. We become lukewarm in our devotion to God. George MacDonald, I think, said it well when he noted, he said, nothing is so deadening to the divine as a habitual dealing with holy things. If you'll remember last time, we saw how that in order to serve the Lord God in the tabernacle, the priest had to qualify, first of all, as a son of Aaron. But not only that, he had to be without any physical defects. But that was not enough. That was not enough. For his service to be pleasing to the Lord God, it had to come from a right heart attitude. In Leviticus chapter 22, verse 1 and verse number 2, the chapter begins by saying, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and to his sons." Notice this next phrase, "that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, and that they profane not my holy name in those things which they hallow unto me. I am the Lord." Now notice the phrase there, "that they separate themselves from the holy things." It literally carries the idea of not becoming overly familiar, not becoming overly comfortable with those holy things. In other words, the priest were to treat the holy things, they were to handle the holy things with the greatest respect. They were to handle the holy things with the greatest care. In other words, they were to not be sloppy in the way they handled the holy things, but they were to do it very carefully. Remember, the priest offered sacrifices. As we've come through this study, we've seen how that they offered sacrifices two times every day. And that was 365 days a year. And it was year after year after year. And so therefore, it would be very easy for them to become very familiar. In other words, sometimes we say, "I can do that with my eyes closed." And it would be very easy for the priest to have that same kind of attitude. They've done it so much. They're so familiar with the offering of the offerings that it would be very easy for them to develop an attitude of professionalism that would turn the sacred ritual into a shallow routine. In other words, they would be doing all of the right things, but their heart would not be in it. Their heart would not be in it. In fact, by the time that Malachi the prophet came on the scene around 420 BC, that attitude had totally corrupted the priesthood of Israel. You can read about it in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 to chapter 2, verse 9. But even though this problem of professionalism was rooted in a wrong attitude that was deep down in the heart, it could not stay hidden. Because you see, what's in our hearts, eventually it's going to come out. In fact, the Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 23 and verse number 30, or chapter 32, verse 23, "Be sure your sin will find you out." In other words, if a priest did not have a right heart attitude concerning his service for the Lord God, it's going to show up. It's going to show up. And as we look at this text this evening, we're going to find three ways that this attitude would show up in their service for God. So let's notice them together. First of all, when the priest became overly professional, they became overly familiar with the things of God, it would naturally lead to a spirit of hypocrisy. The Bible says in chapter 22 and verse number 3, "Say unto them, whosoever he be of all your seed among your generations that goeth unto the holy things, which the children of Israel hallow unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord." And then the Lord God actually outlines for us the things that would cause a priest to become unclean. If you notice in verse number 4, if he was a leper or if he had a running issue, then he would be unclean. Verse number 4 also talks about touching a dead body. If he touched a dead body, then he would be unclean. In verse number 4, also, if he had had sexual relations, then he would be considered unclean. And if he had touched any creeping thing, verse number 5 says that he would be unclean. And of course, if he had touched another person who was unclean, verse 5 tells us, then he would also be unclean. In fact, notice it in verse 6 and verse number 7. "The soul which hath touched any such shall be unclean until even. and shall not eat of the holy things unless he wash his flesh with water. And when the sun is down, he shall be clean and shall afterward eat of the holy things because it is his food. Now, then came the reminder in verse number 8 that a priest was not to defile himself by eating anything that had died of natural causes. They were not to eat of anything that had been killed by a predator. But if a priest was unclean, if the priest was unclean, why would he cover it up? I mean, the question is logical. If the priest was unclean, he knew he was unclean, then why would he cover it up and continue to handle holy things? And we can answer that question with only one word. And the word is pride. Because of pride. You see, their pride would cause them to dare to do things that they should not do, that they had no business doing. And yet that pride would actually put them in mortal danger. Notice it in verse number 9. They shall therefore keep mine ordinance, lest they bear sin for it and die. Therefore, if they profane it, I, the Lord, do sanctify them. You see, the priest who would cover his uncleanness in order to keep his job, the priest that would cover his uncleanness in order to keep his position, to be able to eat of the food that was provided in the tabernacle and in the temple. You see, that priest, by his actions, was actually showing that he was more concerned about himself than he was about God. He's more concerned with his own reputation than he is with God's holiness. In fact, that's what the Lord Jesus condemned the scribes and the Pharisees for. Over in Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 and verse number 27, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." Verse number 27, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Well, the thing we need to learn right here is that it's not enough to have right doctrines. Now, doctrine is vitally important, but that in itself is not enough. It's not enough to have right doctrines. It's not enough to have right practices. Now, we need to have right practices. We need to do things in a biblical way. Right practices and right doctrines, however, are only pleasing to God. Please understand, those things are only pleasing to God when they come from a right heart. That's the key. And to pretend that we are clean, to pretend that our hearts are right with God when we are seeking to serve him, and if that is not true, then what we're doing is we're actually lying to men. We are profaning God's ministry, and we are actually bringing God's judgment on ourselves. A wrong heart attitude can lead to hypocrisy. Not only does it lead to hypocrisy, we also find in this chapter that having a wrong heart attitude when it comes to our service for God can also lead to compromise. It can lead to compromise. Notice it in verse number 10. "There shall no stranger eat of the holy thing, a sojourner of the priest." In other words, this is a guest who has come and he's visiting the priest. "Or a hired servant," that is some worker that the priest has hired to do a job. So this guest or this hired worker shall not eat of the holy thing. Now, we've seen before how that the offerings, in the offerings, a part of that was always given to the priest. That was their food. And of course, the exception to that rule was the burnt offering, because the burnt offering was to be given completely to God. You remember we saw this in the beginning of our study, how that it was the burnt offering that showed the complete consecration of a man, all that he is, consecrated to God. And so none of the burnt offering was to be eaten, but the rest would be shared with the priest and all of that. And the reason, again, was because the priest had no inheritance in the land. And this was how the Lord God determined that he would provide for his priest. And so because of that, no stranger, no one who was from outside the tribe of Levi was allowed to eat of the holy things. Now we find that three points are made in our text. First of all, it talks about the purchased servant. He and his children, because he has been purchased and he is now a part of the household of a Levite, he would be allowed to eat. You find that in chapter 22, verse 11. In verse number 12, we find that the married daughter would be allowed to eat. If she was married to a stranger, however, she could not eat. She could not eat. But if a daughter, verse number 13 tells us, was widowed, or if she was divorced and had no child, and she returned to her father's house, then she would be allowed to eat. And then it talks about the careless person. If someone accidentally ate something that was holy, verse number 14 says, then they would have to repay the value of what they had eaten, plus they would have to pay a fine that would equal 20% of the value of that which they had eaten of. But now here's the point that I want us to understand. A faithful priest would sometimes have to say no. A faithful priest would sometimes have to refuse to provide for someone that he loved. And the reason was because verse 15 and verse 16 tells us, if he allowed some unqualified person to eat of the holy things, not only was he allowing them to sin, but he himself was sinning against the Lord God and also sinning against the person that he allowed to eat of the holy things. Now there's a principle here. For pastors, first of all, for pastors, there are times when a pastor has to say no to the desires or the wishes of a church member. And the pastor does not say no because he doesn't love that church member. Rather, he says no because he loves God more than anyone else. He says no because his love for God is so strong that he refuses to compromise God's word for anyone, even if it is someone of his own family. But not only is this principle here for pastors, it's also true for parents. It's true for parents. There are times when parents are faced with a situation where they ought to say no. They ought to say no to the desire, to the wish of their child. But sadly, many give in to their child's pleading. They give in to their child's crying, and they allow their child to have his way. And I understand children can be very persuasive. I remember when we had two boys growing up in our house, and there were times when they would say, "Dad, I want something." I remember specifically when one of the PlayStations, and I don't remember what model it was or what version, but one of them came out, and I remember Caleb and Benjamin both came, "Dad, we would like this PlayStation." I said, "Well, that looks really nice, but you know, we just can't do that. We can't get that right now." But Dad, we want it. And I said, "No, I know you want it, but we can't do that. But Dad, we need it." You know, how do you argue with that? And so many times we give in. We give in. And the parent who will not say no, here's the danger. The parent who never says no to their child is actually sinning against their child because they are actually raising a willful and a stubborn child. And the wise man spoke about this in Proverbs 17:25. Here's what he said. He said, "A foolish son, one who is allowed to have his own way all the time, he's never held back, he's never heard the word no in his life without having a meltdown. And then he found out that when he did that, then he would get what he wanted. And so he becomes a fool. Because he grows up to be willful and stubborn and rebellious. And as a result of that, he is a grief to his father, and he's bitterness to her that bare him. Bottom line, faithful priest in Israel was never to tell people what they wanted to hear. The faithful priest was to tell people what they needed to hear, whether they liked it or not. He had to be honest. He had to hold to the word of God. He had to follow what the scripture said. He could not compromise. Wrong heart attitude leads to hypocrisy. Wrong heart attitude also leads to compromise. But then there's a third thing that I want us to notice, and that is this. A wrong heart attitude can lead to disrespect. Disrespect. That is, giving to the Lord God something that really we don't even want. A sad example of this, again, if I mentioned Malachi earlier, in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 and verse number 7, the Lord God said, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised your name?" Verse seven. Here it is. They offered polluted bread on God's altar. They disrespected God by basically giving to the Lord something that they themselves would never want. In fact, if you read in Malachi chapter 1, verse 8, we're told that the priest would bring sacrifices to the Lord God that were lame. They brought sacrifices that were blind. They brought sacrifices that were sick. In other words, they brought sacrifices to offer to the Lord God that they would never have offered to the government or to the governor of their land. The bottom line, a priest who allowed a less than perfect sacrifice to be offered was showing disrespect to the Lord God. And that's what we see now. In Leviticus 22, verse 17 to verse 21, no offering was to be sacrificed to the Lord God if it was not absolutely perfect. No sacrifice, no offering was to be given to the Lord God if it had any blemish at all. And then a list of blemishes is given for us in verse 22 down to verse number 25. Those are the things that would cause a sacrifice to become unacceptable to the Lord God. But there are some other considerations that are to be noticed here. Some other considerations. Notice, first of all, we find mentioned the age of the offering. The age of the offering. Look at verse 26, verse 27. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "When a bullock or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam." In other words, when this animal is born, for 7 days it is to be nursing from its mother. And then from the eighth day and thenceforth, it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And so the animal for sacrifice, well, the age of it was to be at least 8 days old before it could be offered to the Lord. That was the age of the offering that needed to be considered. It also speaks of the relation of the offering. Look at verse number 28. "And whether it be a cow or a ewe," in other words, a sheep, "ye shall not kill it and her young both in one day." In other words, the mother and the little baby animal were not to be sacrificed at the same time. And then there's the attitude of the offering. In Leviticus chapter 22, or in chapter 1, rather, in verse number 3, you remember it said, "If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, he shall offer it of his own voluntary will." That's the attitude of the offering. It was to be a voluntary thing. And it's the same thing that we find now in our text in verse number 29. "And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. Certainly, this illustrates the principle that the Apostle Paul stated. You remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, every man, as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, one who gives with a voluntary desire, a willing desire to give to the Lord. And then there's also found in this chapter the eating of the offering. In verse number 30, the Bible says, on the same day, that is the same day that it is offered, on the same day it shall be eaten up. Ye shall leave none of it until the morrow. I am the Lord. Bottom line, for a priest to fail in any of these areas, for a priest to fail in any of these areas was to show disrespect for God and for his offerings. Now, as we review these three points, we can see that really they're kind of like stepping stones that lead those who are serving God away from God. They're like stepping stones that lead those who want to serve God away from God. In other words, their hypocrisy will always lead to a compromise, and their compromise will always lead to disrespect. And because of that, the Lord God said in verse 31 and following, he said, therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you. In other words, God is, he is holy, and he is the one who has made them to be a holy people that brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. Now, this was written to the priesthood of Israel. We understand that. It's Old Testament. We understand that. But it certainly applies to us as New Testament believers in Jesus Christ. Because Revelation chapter 1, verse 6 says that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are a priest of God, and we are part of a royal priesthood, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And so therefore, just like those priests of Israel, if we fail to obey God's word, if we fail to serve him with a right heart attitude, if we fail in any of these areas, then we will certainly become guilty of these three things. And it will all end up that we will become guilty of actually despising the holy name of him who loved us and died for us and redeemed us from our sin. So as priest of God, may we all be faithful. May we all be faithful to serve him lawfully. That is, serve him by faithfully obeying his word. And may we all be faithful to honor him by serving him with a right heart attitude. How's your heart tonight? How's your heart tonight? I hope our hearts are right with God in order that we might serve him effectively, that we might serve him in a way that will truly cause him to be honored and glorified through our life.